My name is Marissa, and I'm here with Colin, Laura, and Ashley. We are going to talk about some of the history of World War I. Starting with Colin, who will be telling us about some of the technology used in World War I.
First off, poison gas was the pinnacle of biohazardous weapon use. Poison gas saw its first use in Bolomo, Germany in 1915. It wasn't mustard gas, but it was 18,000 shells of deadly bromine. This being that all gas was climate dependent, whether or not it would work. Gas wasn't officially lethal, but in most cases, fatality was at a high of 3%. It was feared, though, the possible damage done would be respiratory, blistering, sneezing, and eye harming. Over 100,000 tons of gas was used throughout the war. It was originally launched as a liquid, and it was rarely used. Then we have tanks, which were a commodity after 1915. So there was a total of 26 World War I tank types. 72% of Allied tanks were destroyed during the 1918 Battle of Amiens. 6 days before the war ended, the British had only 8 tanks left. Germany produced 20 and all were destroyed but one. Britain and France produced 6,508 tanks. Tanks first appeared in the Battle of Fiers Carlaset in September 1916. World War I tanks couldn't exceed 4 miles per hour because they were really slow. And that's if they were also really exceeding it, just like aircraft. British sent 49 tanks into battle. And so then we move on to aircraft, which at the time were extremely slow and easy to target. So being a pilot was very feared. There were 70 different types of aircraft during the war. Germans were the first to create a mounted machine gun on aircraft. Sopwith Camel was the most famous aircraft, taking down over 1,300 enemy aircraft. Aircraft could go up to 100 miles per hour. Cockpits were so small that parachutes couldn't fit, and the pilot was super cramped. Then we have machine guns, which were powered by bad recoil. They needed four to six men to operate a Lewis gun. Had the firepower of 100 guns. Large field guns had the long range. Fire shells exploded on impact, used on tripods, very heavy, and not portable by one man. Vickers machine gun, first portable machine gun used throughout the war. So imagine being in the trenches with food being rotted with rats and lice in your hair, frostbite and bad aching all over your body. That was World War I in trench warfare. 2,490 kilometers of trench lines dug for World War I, being most 1 to 2 meters wide, 3 meters deep. Pests in the trenches, rats, lice, frogs, and bot flies. Trench foot was a new problem in which pests ate at the human's feet and parasites became lodged in their body, in their like toes and stuff. Bad weather would flood trenches and stink up the trenches. Weapons would rust and... I don't know what that is. Frostbite was extremely common during winter. Most soldiers died from exposure during the cold. Trenches were dug in a zigzag pattern. T-51 landmines were very common and blew up a bunch of soldiers. There was duck boards, which would be the main industrial wood in trenches. A barbed wire, and there would be sapping was digging or extending a trench. And that's about it.
Okay, thank you, Colin. Ashley, what were some of the causes of World War I?
So I will be talking about the Lusitania first. The Lusitania was a British ocean liner and was briefly the world's largest passenger ship until May 7, 1915. The ship sank by a German U-boat 11 miles off the southern coast of Ireland. The sinking presaged the United States to declare war on Germany on 1917.
What happened after the Lusitania?
May 18, 1917, the Selective Service Act was passed and authorized the United States federal government to raise a national army for service in World War I. It required all men in the U.S. between the ages 21 and 30 to register for military service, and within 4 months, over 10 million men across the country had registered in response to the military draft.
Laura, what were President Wilson's 14 points?
President Wilson had 14 points. The second point was freedom of seas in peace and war, basically meaning that international seas shall be free to navigate during peace and war. The 14th point was a League of Nations that would be formed that protects the independence of all countries, no matter how big or how small.
Laura, tell us about the Treaty of Versailles.
The Treaty of Versailles brought World War I to an end on June 28, 1919. The victorious powers being the United States, Great Britain, France, and other allies imposed punitive territorial, military, and economic provisions on defeated Germany.
Who attended the Treaty of Versailles?
Germany had formally surrendered on November 11, 1918, and all nations had agreed to stop fighting. The Big Four, Prime Ministers of Britain, Italy, and France, along with President Woodrow Wilson, attended the signing of the Treaty of Versailles.
So I will be talking about the American Expeditionary Forces led by General John Pershing, the Battle of Argonne Forest and Alvin York. First, I will be talking about Alvin York. Alvin York, also known as Sergeant York, received the Medal of Honor for leading an attack on a German machine gun nest. He took at least one machine gun, killing at least 25 enemy soldiers, and capturing 132 and protecting his platoon.
The Battle of Argonne Forest was a major part of the final Allied offensive of World War I that stretched along the entire Western Front. It was fought from September 26, 1918 until the armistice of November 11, 1918, a total of 47 days.
American forces under General John Pershing launched first major offensive in World War I, September 12, 1918. Since 1917, when the U.S. declared war on Germany and entered World War I, American divisions have fought in Europe. But they had only fought in support of the major French or British units already firmly entrenched in the effort. On September 12, 1918, the American Expeditionary Forces under General John Pershing launched their first major offensive in Europe as an independent army. Their successful campaign was a major turning point in the war for the Allies. The United States forces helped to defeat Germany earlier than expected. By October, Germany's defeat was certain and the war came to an end earlier than expected. Leaders signed the armistice on November 11, 1918. Pershing spoke to American citizens at home in a recorded broadcast from the battlefields of France. He called for support in the spirit of our forefathers. President Wilson encouraged this call for support. Pershing had earlier estimated the need for 3 million American troops on European soil by 1919. The strength of Pershing's army in 1918 saved the lives of those men who would have come after. This is the end of the World War I podcast by Marissa, Ashley, Laura, and Colin.